Hi everyone, you're listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 166 for March 20th, 2011. In this week's podcast, our guest speaker, Pastor Ed Cortez, will be talking about the life of Ruth on his message titled, The Glorious Reward of Faithful Commitment. Enjoy.
Jesus is the Lord to you and the ruler of your heart this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a blessing to be here in your midst this morning. You know, every time I'm invited here to speak to you, you know, there's an anticipation, eagerness to share with you the Word of God, because this church has the presence of the Spirit of God in this house. You know, just, yes, give God the praise, give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And just like what Pastor has said, just seeing Brother Roger, you know, being here up front and sharing, leading in the worship, you know, that is a blessing. And, you know, he is a walking miracle. It was just a year or so ago when he was so weak. He was so sick. He was on the verge of dying, really. But God came to his rescue. God touched his life. He transformed his life, gave him a new lease on life because of your prayers, because of the prayer of God's people. We never gave up on him, and God touched his life. And you know, he's here up front leading in the worship. That is such a blessing. You know, I don't even have to preach to you this morning because his life, you just look at his life, you know, you cannot help it but be touched and be blessed by God when you see him. You know, just like what Pastor has said, my wife and children, they very much like to be here with you this morning, but because of the practice, my wife is practicing the worship team, they couldn't come. And you are all invited. Absolutely. You're all invited. Pastor founded the church. Sister Lolit, you know, and you know, Brother Roger, and you know, those of you who are old timers. Let me use the term. You founded the church. You were faithful in going you know, an hour away to reach your destination in Waukegan, and God has blessed the church. God has made it very, very fruitful. And we can never make mention of Living Word Christian Church without thinking about the work, the labor of love that Pastor Ati Lolit and all of you has done for Living Word Christian Church. Surely God is faithful. Surely God has used you to establish the church. And we will always be grateful for what you have done and continue to do as you pray for Living Word Christian Church. You know, this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is a very beautiful, interesting book. I don't know if you've taken the time in the past to sit down and just absorb and read the book of Ruth. You know, if you do that or if you have done that, I know you have been blessed. I know you have learned so much from the book of Ruth. So this morning, allow me to preach to you from the book of Ruth. So please, if you could just stand with me as we give honor to the Word of God this morning, I would like to read chapter 1, beginning from verse 1, and I'm going to read up to verse 16. Ruth chapter 1. Beginning from verse 1 to verse 16. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Verse 2. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and leave there. Verse 3, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. And with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. Verse 11. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Verse 14, at this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods, so go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Heavenly Father, we lift up, O God, this message unto you. Holy Spirit of God, this time is yours. Holy Spirit of God, touch every heart this morning, O God, so that we may decipher, so that we may absorb the truth of your word, O God, this morning. God, we come to you empty, O God, this morning. I ask you to fill us through the power and authority of your word, O God. Lord, we give you complete access and freedom in our lives, O God, this morning. We give to you our undivided attention, O God, because you have a message for each one of us. God, meet every need, oh God, this morning. I commit to you this message that I commit to you myself, oh God. Hide me behind the cross, oh God, this morning, and under the blood of your son, Jesus. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. You know, the key verse this morning, the golden text this morning is found in verse 16. And let me read that again. When Ruth replied to her mother-in-law, she said, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you will die, there I will be buried. May God deal with me if anything but death separates you and me. The title of this message is this: the glorious rewards of faithful commitment. The glorious rewards of a faithful commitment. If you look at verse 1, it says, in the days when the judges ruled. The book of Ruth originally was a part of the book of Judges. During the times of the judges, it was the times were characterized by so much idolatry, by so much wickedness, so much turning away from the true and living God. There was so much darkness all over the place during the time of the judges. That's why God had to raise men and women that will lead his people back to him. The book of Ruth is like a breath of fresh air. It's like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, because this is such a beautiful, amazing story of a woman whose love and devotion and faithfulness and loyalty to her mother-in-law is such a beautiful illustration of what it should be in our relationship towards God, in our relationships to other people. The story begins with a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. The wife's name is Naomi. And the name of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They went to Moab and they went to live in the country of Moab. So there was a crisis in the land of Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay, it is ironic that the house of bread has run out of food, okay? Because there was famine in the land, and Elimelech and Naomi had to make a choice to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab. There was a crisis. You know, brothers and sisters, sooner or later, there will be a crisis that will come to our lives. Amen? If you're not in a crisis right now, one is coming, okay? And maybe some of you are in a crisis right now. This message is for you, because you will see in this story how you will turn your despair into joy, how you will turn your sadness into gladness through this story. You know, it is amazing to note that just three verses into the story in chapter 1, Naomi's husband died. Naomi's husband died. I don't know how many of you have lost a loved one. Okay, many of us have experienced the loss of a loved one. And you know, the pain of separation, you know, the difficult life ahead when you lose someone that you deeply care about. Naomi lost her husband, just three verses into the story. And not only that, she lost her two sons. So she lost these three men that mattered most in her life. And, you know, as I read this story, I tried to put myself in her shoes, and I tried to get a feel of the emotion of the drama that's taking place here. Because sometimes that's how you understand the full impact of the whole thing. Okay, sometimes we just go through the story and read it so quickly that we miss the point. We miss the emotion that went with the story. But think just for a moment. Let's go back to the time when you lost a dear loved one. Just last year, Kathy's dad, my father-in-law, died, passed away. Just last Thursday, early morning, my uncle in the Philippines, he lost his battle with his kidneys. He's going to a dialysis treatment two times a week. He was about 77, 78 years old. And when he was done with his treatment, he went into an MI, a myocardial infraction. He went into a cardiac arrest. They were tried to revive him, but he passed away. And my uncle, he is a great man of God. He established a Bible school in the northern region of the Philippines in Tuguegarao. He trained hundreds of pastors. He was kidnapped by the NPA for about a year because of his association with American missionaries. They thought he was a CIA agent because he would come to the States so many times. Almost every month he would come and he would proclaim and share the gospel of Jesus. And he would go back to the Philippines, and the NPAs, the rebels, thought he was a CIA agent. They kidnapped him. They kept him captive for a year. They brought him through their kangaroo court. But he was proven innocent, and so they released him. And so just last Thursday, he died. So there's a heavy emotion, a heavy feeling in the family. There's a grieving time. You all went through when you lost a loved one. Now think about Naomi. She just lost her husband. And not long after 10 years, she lost her two sons. So one tragedy after another. And so Naomi faced her daughters-in-law. And she said, "My daughters, I have nothing to offer to you. I have nothing. I came full, but now I have everything is just empty. I have nothing to offer to you. Go back to your mothers. Go back to your land. I'm going back to Bethlehem. Please go back." If you look in verse 8, she said to her daughters, "Now go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." She kissed them, and they wept aloud. In verse 11, Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons." Verse 14, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi in verse 15, "Your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. I'm facing a very uncertain future. I don't know what awaited me back in Bethlehem. Go back, please." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." She uttered this glorious, immortal words that I find no comparison in any words that have been uttered by the great men and women of throughout history. Nothing can compare to these words. She said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you stay, I'll stay. Wherever you will die, there I will be buried." You know, when Ruth said, "Wherever you go, I will go," she was saying, in effect, "I'm ready, I'm willing to leave my home. I'm going with you. I have made a decision to leave the home of my fathers. I have made a decision. I have drawn a line in the sand. I'm going back to where you're going. I'm going with you." You know, sometimes we have to make this decision if we are to follow Christ. Amen? We have to come to that point of a major decision, whether we will choose to live in the world or choose Christ, to go where God is, to live where He is, among His people, to be separated from the world, to go to God. Sometimes you have to make that one radical decision, because if you are not ready to say, "God, I'm leaving my old life. God, I am rejecting the world system. I have enough of the world. God, I'm leaving. I'm bailing out, God. I'm going to where you are, among God's people, in your kingdom." If we're not ready to make that kind of commitment, then we're not ready to serve God. We're not ready to truly surrender our lives to God. But look at Ruth. She said, "Where you go, I will go." And Naomi faced an uncertain future. Naomi didn't think that she will be accepted again by her family, by her relatives, because they left Bethlehem. I mean, she was going home to a very hostile crowd. If you look at the story, the whole town was feared when they saw them coming back. I mean, there was no guarantee for a bright future. There was no promises, nothing. But Ruth had made a decision. She made a bold declaration and she said, "Where you go, I will go." You know, this is the kind of loyalty that we need so badly in so many relationships today. This is the kind of commitment and devotion that must be present within a husband and wife relationship. This is applicable in any relationship. Amen? Where you go, I will go. You tell your spouse, you tell your husband, "Honey, I'm in this relationship forever." The wife tells the husband, "You know what? Whatever happens, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not bailing out. Even if there is suffering, even if there's trials in this relationship, I will stick with you no matter what, through thick and thin." Amen? Amen. Have you ever made that promise? Have you ever kept that promise to your loved ones? You know, not only is this applicable to a husband and wife relationship, but also parents to their children. Amen? Amen. No matter what becomes of your children, if they grow up and they rebel against you, or they, you know, go their own way, their own separate ways, and they don't listen to you and they rebel against you, continue to be loyal to them. Continue to show compassion and kindness to them. Continue to pray for them. Amen? Don't give up on your children. Continue to love them and show deep care to them. Amen? I mean, there's a big difference between acceptance and approval. Yes, we don't approve of the bad things that they do. We don't approve it, but we still accept them as our sons and daughters. Because you know what? Through your persistency, through your love, your abiding love, your prayers, your care for them, they will see that, they will notice that. And you know, one day they'll come back to you. One day they'll say, "Mom, Dad, I've messed up. You are right. I'm wrong." Ruth made a commitment, made a decision. She did not know what awaited Naomi back in Bethlehem. But she said, "Where you go, I will go." And then next she said, "Where you stay, I will stay." What Ruth was saying is, "Mom, I'm not going to go back to Moab. I'm coming with you." I mean, it's a very strange place for us. She's never been to Bethlehem, to Judah. All her life, she grew up in Moab. You know, Moab, if you will try to study the origin of this nation, remember the story of Lot and his family? Remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And God said, "Lot, you and your family, leave this place because I'm going to destroy this place. Don't you ever turn back. Don't you ever look back." But remember when they were fleeing the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife turned back. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And so that left Lot and his two daughters. Remember that? And then when they were somewhere in the mountains, the daughters thought about, "Hey, you know what? We need to preserve our line. We need to preserve our family." So they made their father drunk. And they slept with him. And as a result of that, Moab was born. If you look at Genesis, as a result of that, Moab was born. And the Moabites trace their history, their origin, from Lot and his daughters. And you know, the Moabites were persistent enemies of Israel, the Jews. I mean, they oppressed them during the time of the judges. If you study the history of the nation of Israel, the Moabites were perennial enemies of the Jews, of the Israelites. They tormented them. They oppressed them. So they were enemies. That is the background of this whole story. Ruth was a Moabitess. She said to her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay." What she's saying is, "I'm ready to leave Moab." You know, because Moab was an idolatrous country, God cursed Moab. You know, their god is Chemosh and Moloch. And the Moabites worship these gods, Chemosh and Moloch, by sacrificing children. That's their history. They practice human sacrifices. And because of that, God cursed the nation of Moab. And so Ruth was saying, in effect, when she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I'll stay. I'm ready to leave this idolatrous nation behind me. I'm ready to leave all of these gods, Chemosh and Moloch. I don't want to have anything to do with these gods. I'm ready to move forward. I'm going to stay where you're staying." How about us, brothers and sisters? Have you left Moab? Have you left Moab yet? The world's system, the immorality and the wickedness that we see in the world today, are we still a part of that? You know, sometimes we have to make a decision, say, "You know what, God, I'm leaving behind Moab. I'm leaving behind all my gods, small g. I'm leaving behind all of these things, God, so that I may serve you, so that I can give up my life wholeheartedly to you." And that is the decision that Ruth made. She said, "Wherever you stay, where you stay, I will stay. Your people," third thing, when she said, "Your people will be my people." When Ruth said that, she was expressing her desire, her willingness to be identified with God's people. I mean, she had never met these people before in her life. But she said, "Your people will be my people." She was ready for new relationships, ready to accept new relationships. You know, because she's been related with people that do not know God. She's related with people that worship other gods. And so she cut off her relationships, these bad influences, and she was ready to move on and establish new relationship with the people of God. That's what she's saying, in effect, when she said, "Your people will be my people." See, when you leave the world behind, you get to establish new relationships, the family of God. Look around you. This is your family. Amen? This is your family. Yes, you may have lost some friendships because of your newfound faith, because you don't do the things that they do anymore. You know, when you used to go and you know, play mahjong or go to Las Vegas and gamble, you know, and you said, "You know what, enough of the world. Enough of this." You used to, you know, to do immoral things. And you break off certain relationships because they are evil influences in your lives. And you know, you just say, "Enough of this. I want to fellowship with God and with his people in his kingdom." You know, God has shown you a new and different family, and you have gained so much. Yes, you may have lost some bad friendships, evil friendships along the way, but God has given you new friendships, a new family. And this is the family of God. And you have a family in Living Word Christian Church as well. And we look forward for you to coming in, attending the anniversary on April 2nd at 3 p.m. That's a Saturday. Amen? You have families all over the world. Amen? The kingdom of God is a universal thing. Don't think that, well, you know what? This is the only church that I know. But you know what? Go to Asia. Go to Europe. Go to Waukegan. You will find the family, the family of God that will love you and care for you. Amen? Amen? There's a lot of us in the world. Your people will be my people. And then she said, your God will be my God. I mean, this showed that Ruth was converted to the true and living God. Because she said, your God will be my God. For sure, she heard about what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness. For sure, Naomi and Elimelech, you know, told her the story of how God delivered the children of Israel in the wilderness, how God parted the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could walk on it and flee the army of Pharaoh. For sure, she came to know about the miraculous stories of what God has done in the wilderness for the children of Israel. For sure, she found out about those through the stories that was told by her father-in-law and by her mother-in-law. And so she came to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when she said, your God will be my God, she was saying, I'm ready to serve the true and living God. I'm leaving behind the gods of Moab, Moloch, and Chemosh. I reject them. I'm ready to serve the true and living God. How about us, my brothers and sisters? The true and living God, the most powerful God, is here in our midst today. When you come to this church, you are worshiping, you are serving the true and powerful God. Aren't you glad that you have found Him? You're not worshiping a dead God. You're not worshiping someone who's buried six deep under. He was risen. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. He's here. He's alive. He knows you by name. Even the number of your hairs, He knows it. He cares deeply about you. He's alive. You can talk to Him. You can worship Him. And He knows your very situation right now. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're struggling. He knows if you're facing some crisis in your life. He knows that because He's a powerful God. He's aware. He knows what's going on. And this is what Ruth was expressing to her mother-in-law. She said, your God will be my God. I believe in the God of Israel. I believe in Him. I'm ready to put all my trust in Him. There's no turning back. There is no turning back. And later on in the book of Ruth, you will see how God rewarded her faithfulness, her loyal devotion to her mother-in-law. And then she said, where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. What she was saying in effect is, I'm in this, we're in this together. I'm not going to bail out on you. Mom, I will be with you. Whatever happens, whatever the circumstances may be, I will be with you. I am committed in this relationship. Sometimes we have to come to that point in our relationships with our wives, with our husbands, with our children, with the church, with our pastor. Sometimes we have to come to that point and say, you know what? I'm in this relationship for the long haul. I'm going the distance. I don't look at this as a contract. I'm looking at this relationship as a covenant. Amen? So husbands, don't bail out if there's just like one little testing. Okay? Don't challenge your spouses for a divorce just because of one or two, three things. You should be able to say, you know what, honey? You know what, husband, wife? I'm in this relationship forever. Whatever happens, whatever trials or tribulation that we may encounter, I will stick by you. Amen, husbands? Man, you're awfully quiet this morning. You should be able to make a commitment and say, honey, I'm in this relationship. Because you know what? The world today, I mean, 50% of all marriages ends up in divorce. Why? Because just a little pain, just a little suffering. The wife would say, you know what? I'm done with you. I give up. Or the husband would say, you know what? We can't, you know, make this together. I mean, we get problems after problems. You know, I've just lost my job and you're not listening to me. And, you know, let's call it quits. That's how the world functions. Right? But the way a Christian relationship should be is this. Hey, you know what? Whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the trials and tribulations we're going through, I am in this relationship for the long haul. I'm going to stick by you, come hell or high water. Amen. That's what we should say. Amen? Give God the praise. Give God the glory. You know, when I was preparing this message, Brother Roger and Sister Lucy came to my mind. You know what? Because they went through that intense testing. I mean, just a year ago or more than a year ago, right? I mean, Brother Roger was sick. They discovered something in his body, and the chances are nil. But Sister Lucy said, I don't know how you call Brother Roger, if you call him honey or love or babe, or I don't know. But Sister Lucy said, babe, we're in this together. You may not look like, you know, the 25-year-old, you know, husband that I came to know about, but you know what? I see you in your pain. I see you in your sickness. But you know what? Let me just assure you that I am with you regardless of what happens. I will care for you. I will bring you coffee and donuts and whatever. But I'm in this relationship forever. Whatever happens, I'm in this. And I know some of you have the same commitment and devotion and loyalty to your husbands, to your wives. And I would like to encourage you through this message, there is a reward awaiting for you if you stick by your man, if you stick by your woman, regardless of what happens. Amen? Yes, give God the grace and give God the glory. You should be able to say, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you'll stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And where you die, there I will be buried. Wow, that's the kind of passion and commitment God is looking for in every single one of us. You should tell that to your pastor as well. Pastor, I'm in this church forever. Pastor, whatever happens in this church, I will stand by you. I will support you through my prayers, through my giving. Pastor, whatever happens in this church, whether there will be typhoons and tornadoes, I will be here. I am in this church. And the same commitment and devotion, we want to, as pastors, we want to give that to you. We're here for you. We'll be praying for you. We will care for you. It's the same commitment. I mean, Ruth gave us a noble example. Just like what I said, I've never seen these words in any of the great men and women of history. Compare their words to Ruth's words. Nothing can compare. This is a statement. These are pronouncements that exemplifies the depth of her commitment and devotion.
to her mother-in-law.
So both Naomi and Ruth went back to Bethlehem. And there, Naomi and Ruth found themselves gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And I don't have enough to tell the whole, but I give that as an assignment to you. Read the whole book of Ruth. Ruth found herself gleaning in the fields of Boaz. You know, the gleaners followed the reapers that day. The gleaners pick up the scraps of wheat that fell on the ground. They followed the reapers. This is like the welfare system of that day. The poor would go behind the reapers, and they will be called the gleaners because they will pick up whatever is left on the ground. And sometimes not enough. Not enough grain at the end of the day. Sometimes they will just harvest like a handful of grain to take home with them. So Ruth found herself gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz, if you know the story, is a close relative of Naomi. You know, for us to understand, and listen to me now, for you and me to understand the book of Ruth, you have to have knowledge of these two concepts, basic concepts, one theological and one social. Theological, you need to understand the concept of kinsman redeemer. Okay? Because there is a mention of the word, a kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is a close relative that has the ability, the capacity to buy you back. If you're a slave, the kinsman redeemer has the ability to give you freedom, to pay for your freedom. A close relative of yours. If you're a widow, a kinsman redeemer, if he is single, if he is free, he is able to make you as his bride. Okay? You're getting this? The kinsman redeemer is able to make you as his bride. And the third thing is, if you are an orphan, the kinsman redeemer is able to adopt you as his child. So Boaz was a kinsman redeemer because he was a close relative to Naomi and Elimelech. Okay? And if you read the story, they both fell in love. Okay? Ruth and Boaz. Boaz fell in love with Ruth. It's like love at first sight. He noticed her while she was gleaning. And Boaz showered her with so much compassion and kindness. In spite of her being a foreigner outside the commonwealth of Israel. She was a Gentile. But Boaz, when he saw her, treated her very kindly. You know, weeks passed and the harvest was over. Naomi and Ruth were talking about why Boaz had not made his move yet. Because they were waiting for him to propose to Ruth. Okay? Just like what I said, this is a beautiful story. And if you look at all the details, you know what happened? It was Ruth who actually proposed to Boaz. Because Naomi said, you know, when the harvest is over and Boaz is sleeping, uncover his feet and lay down at his feet and wait until he tells you something. And she did that. And in ancient times, that is acceptable. That is the tradition. That is actually saying, take me under your protection. Take me as your wife. So I don't know how many couples here where it's the wife who proposed to the husband. Okay? Pastor raises his hand. All right? Feel free to dispute that, Atilola. Okay? But you may ask me, Pastor, is that biblical? Yes, it's biblical. If you look up, if you read the story of Ruth, they made their move because they couldn't wait too long. Okay. Because you know what? The conditions of the widows during the time is hard. It's difficult. That's why if you look at the book of James, James said this is true religion, undefiled religion. It's to care for widows. Okay? Because their situation, the widow situation at that time is very, very difficult. So when Ruth proposed to Boaz, in effect, she was saying, take me under your protection. Take me as your wife. Okay? And the kinsman redeemer, one of his responsibilities is to take the deceased brother's wife as his wife. Okay? So again, those are the responsibilities, obligations. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 25, okay, the kinsman redeemer, that's the theological aspect of this whole story. The social aspect is the levirate marriage. Levirate marriage, L-E-V-I, levirate marriage. Levirate marriage, is, again, it is to allow a widow to marry the deceased husband's closest brother or cousin, a brother or a cousin, someone who is free. This is so that the seed of the deceased husband will be preserved, so that the family will be preserved, and also so that somebody will care for that widow. That is the practice in biblical times, the levirate marriage. So now we see Boaz and Ruth getting married with each other. And as a result of that marriage, Obed was born. And you know who Obed was? Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. And so Ruth was the great-great-grandmother of David. Now, the title of this message is The Glorious Rewards of Faithful Commitment. And you know who David is? David is the great ancestor of Jesus. If you go to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, so please, if you have your Bibles with you, go to Matthew 1, and let me show you real quick the physical lineage of Jesus. I'm not going to read the whole thing, okay? But let me just highlight a few things here. In verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was? Who was the mother of Boaz? Rahab. Do you remember the story of Rahab? Rahab was the prostitute, the Canaanite prostitute that hid those two spies. Remember? Remember? So that they won't be harmed, so that they won't be killed. And when Joshua attacked the city of Jericho, Rahab and her family was spared. Now look at this. Rahab was a Canaanite woman. Ruth was a Moabite woman. And you know what God did in the lives of these women? God included them in the physical lineage of Jesus. Without these women, there is no ancestry to talk about Jesus, right? I mean, Rahab, she was a Canaanite or prostitute. But she confessed her faith in God by believing in the cause of the spies. And you know, if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, who do you see? Who do you find? Among the heroes of faith, you see Rahab. Rahab was among the heroes of faith. And she was the mother of Boaz. Now, what is the lesson, my brothers and sisters? What is the lesson there? Whatever your background is, if you think you're the biggest loser of all, if you think you're the biggest failure of all, if you will put your trust in God, He will transform your life. He will make it something beautiful. He will make it something that's productive in the kingdom. I don't know how far you've fallen. I don't know how you've spent your life. You may have a lot of rejections. You may have done some immoral things in your life. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you will give that life in the Master's hand, He will transform that life and make it into something very, very beautiful. There's always hope in God. Amen? He will restore you. The condition is, you go back to Him. You put your trust in Him. You repent from your sins. God is not only a second chance God. He's the third, the fourth, the fifth second chance God. And now look at the reward that that Ruth got because of her loving, fierce devotion and commitment and faithfulness to her mother-in-law. God rewarded that. God honored that. And she was included in the physical lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were foreigners. We were outcasts. We were never included in the commonwealth of Israel. But God in His grace, God in His mercy, He put us back into His kingdom, the kingdom of life. Aren't you glad? We were orphans. We're without parents, spiritually speaking. We have been rejected. We have been pushed aside. But God took us as His child through our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer are we orphans. We have been adopted into the family of God. We were slaves. We were slaves to sin. Our master was the devil. But our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, freed us from the slavery of sin, gave us new life. You are no longer mastered by sin. Your new master is the Lord Jesus Christ. We were widows, but God, through His Son Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, took us as His bride. And now we are awaiting the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are awaiting that time, the marriage supper of the Lamb, up there in heaven, when we will see Jesus face to face. God fully rewarded the devotion, the loyalty, the commitment of Ruth. And God will do the same thing for you and for me. If you will stay committed in your relationships right now, to your husband, to your wife, no matter what happens, you stand by them, you will stick with them, God will honor that. God will prosper that relationship. If your spouse is sick, he's weak, and you decided to be with him, to care for him, whatever happens, God will reward that. God will honor that. If you have wayward children rebelling against you, if you will never give up on them, you will continue to lift them up on God's throne. You will continue to call them. You will continue to encourage them. You will continue to show them kindness and compassion. You know what, my brothers and sisters? God will reward that. God will honor that. He will bring them back to you. If you will stick in this church, if you will stand by pastor, no matter what happens, you will show the same kind of commitment and loyalty and devotion and faithfulness that Ruth had with her mother-in-law. If you will show the same kind of commitment to the church and to your pastor, God will reward that. God will prosper that. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed, I just want to ask you individually, if the Lord has spoken into your heart this morning, while I was sharing the word, you felt the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Don't refuse Him. Don't ignore His call upon your life. If God has spoken a message and you related to that message, I want you to respond to God this morning. If you're in despair, think it's a hopeless situation, look at the story of Naomi, look at the story of Ruth. God turned their despair into joy. If you have not been fully committed to your loved ones, and now you realize that you need to show more commitment and devotion to them, just allow God to touch you with His precious Holy Spirit this morning. If you're here and then you don't know who God is, who this Jesus is that we talk about, that I preach about, that we sing about, you don't know Him on a personal basis, you don't have a relationship with Him, now is the time. Say yes to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have been lost. Jesus, I know You're talking to me this morning. I want You to be my kinsman redeemer. If you're that person this morning, please say this prayer with me. With every head bowed, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before You. I humble myself. Jesus, You know the condition of my heart. I've been away from You so long. You're calling me to come back. Jesus, I ask You to please forgive me. Please cleanse me from all sin, rebellion, and disobedience. I say yes to You. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Come into my life. I fully surrender everything to You. Thank You for restoring me back in You. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank You, O God, for this morning. We thank You, God, because You sent Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, O God, to redeem us, O Lord, from sin, from a life of sin, from a life, O God, of failure. Lord, You've given us new hope. You have given us new life, O Lord God. And so this morning, O God, we look up to You and we just raise our hands, say thank You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You that You have found me. Thank You, O God, that You have accepted me into the beloved, O God, this morning. O Holy Spirit of God, we rejoice, O God. We rejoice because there is hope in You, Lord. We rejoice, O God, that we will not always despair. But there is joy in the morning, O God, when we come to You, when we draw near You, O God. Thank You, Lord, for the story of Ruth. Because her story demonstrated the kind of commitment and loyalty that we need to have in our relationships, O God, towards our husbands, our wives, our children, to our parents, O God. to our pastor, to the church, oh God. Lord, create in us, oh God, establish, oh God, that kind of commitment and devotion in our hearts, oh God, in our lives, for people, for our various relationships, oh God. Lord, I thank you that you have touched your people, oh God, this morning. Holy Spirit of God, continue, Lord, to work deep down, oh God, in every heart, in every soul this morning, oh God. Let there be deliverance, oh Lord. Let there be deliverance in the mighty name of your Son Jesus, oh God, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word and thank you for your love, oh God. We give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor, please come.
And that was Pastor Ed Cortez on his sermon titled The Glorious Reward of Faithful Commitment. If you would like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can reach us online at ffwcchicago.com. And our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.